So when I came over, start fucking.
Hello.
Wait. How does that go? Yeah. At least we got the fuck ups out of the way early.
Oh, fuck. I stepped on the goat's bowl.
From the burning mesas of the Arizona desert to the slot machine-clad boardwalks of New Jersey, it's the Imaginarium with Scott and Todd. I'm Scott Colbert.
And I'm the horror nerd, Todd Starooch.
Oh, we have a lot to get to today. It is our annual Oscar show.
Yes.
And I can't tell you the amount of emails, messages, texts that I get wondering when we're going to do our Oscar show. And, I mean, I can't tell you because I don't get them. but I always look, it's one of the three shows I always look forward to. The Oscar show, our Celebrity Death Watch, and our Psychic Prediction shows. Those are three of my favorite shows that we do.
And, you know, Scott, I don't know why, but for some reason, I'm kind of into the Oscars this year. And I have no explanation for it.
Well, I think that's because we watched more than one of the movies this year.
That's true. That is true. I did make it a point to check out all of the Best Picture nominees and some of the other ones as well, you know, just to check out the acting or whatever, you know. So I did watch, you know, quite a few movies leading up to this year's show.
Yeah, well, I caught up, you know, as you saw, I was in the hospital over the weekend for my IBS. So I had a lot of time to watch the movies, because you said you were doing it, and I'm like, well, no, fuck, I've got to do that. You know, fortunately, you know, gastrointestinal issues allowed me to catch up with it. And I have some thoughts about these movies. we'll get to that.
Yeah. Oh, you and me both. I mean, we didn't record last week, or did we? No, we did. We had Mark Abbott last week. But the week before that, I had watched a bunch and we didn't get to talk about them. But yeah, I have some thoughts too. I was glad. So I got around having to pay a lot of money for American Fiction that was still in theaters when I saw it. And I have the AMC Movie Pass thing. Yeah. So I saw that in the theater, you know, so I didn't have to pay any extra for it. And I enjoyed that one a lot. You know,
it's fairly
straightforward, but it's a great, what I really liked about American Fiction, Scott, and see if you agree with me, is it spoke to things like racial assumptions and stereotypes and things, but without beating you over the head with it.
Yeah,
you know, did it in a humorous way where you're like, oh yeah, we do. People do tend to do that, you know.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
Good.
I think that might be one of my favorite movies of this year. Of last year, I should say.
It's up there.
I was surprised by it. I remember you talked about it a little bit when we had Mark Abbott on.
Yeah.
And I made a note to myself that would be the next movie that I would watch. And I did. And I enjoyed it a whole lot. And I really wish Mark Abbott had seen it. And I hope he sees it before he's on the next time, because I really would like to talk with him about that movie and get his perspective on it. And, you know, as you know, with him being a black writer,
right?
I thought it might be interesting to get his take on it.
Dude, Jeffrey Wright was a revelation in that movie.
He was fantastic.
Is one where he doesn't even speak, and it's when he's at the writers' conference, and he walks into the room where that the young lady is talking about her book, Wiese He's from the ghetto or whatever the title of. And he's just standing there while she's getting all this adulation with this look on his face like, what in the actual fuck is happening here? It was great without some of the best acting I've ever seen without saying a word.
Yep. That would be my response if I walked into a room and saw Stephanie Meyer talking about vampires.
Right. Oh, so good. Just so good. Eh? All of the acting was just great in that movie.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
all right. Well, before we get into the Oscars, we need to acknowledge passing this week of one of the all-time great comics, Richard Lewis.
Yes.
And I didn't realize he was as old as he was. I mean, he was 76, which, you know, as we've said before, isn't, you know, as old as it used to be. But I thought he was a little bit younger than that.
Hmm.
But he passed away yesterday.
And, yeah, that one, I mean, and they came one right after the other, like wrestler Michael Jones, who was known as Virgil in WWF, he passed away. And I realize he's like a minor celebrity, but my dad and I got to know him quite well over the years to the point where we'd see him at a convention or something signing autographs. He'd be like, oh, Todd, I got some new pictures. I'm like, dude, how many pictures of you can I possibly have? And he would say something like, well, enough so that I can go out to a fancy restaurant tonight or something like that. So that was kind of sad. Because anybody who knows, like, he was a big name in wrestling, even though he was kind of a minor character. And then just his decline over the years to the point where he'd have a table at, like, a flea market in upstate New York somewhere where he was signing autographs and stuff. And he's just sitting there and nobody's talking to him. And I'm like, damn, man, that sucks, you know?
Yeah. And another... Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, then like 20 minutes after that, I saw someone posted that Richard Lewis had passed, and I'm like, what the fuck's happening here? Like, what is going on?
Oh, there's another wrestler who passed away, too, Ole Anderson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Anderson brothers from the original WWE.
Mm.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was old. He was, let's see here, 81.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually kind of surprising. A wrestler lived to be 81, honestly.
Yeah, seriously.
It's especially, and I know it's always, you know, it's always been scripted, but you know, they still take some knocks and bumps along the way.
Oh, please, dude. We could do a whole episode on wrestling, and we probably should have Everett Lee on again to talk about wrestling. But, yeah, anybody who says that those folks don't beat the hell out of themselves doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Exactly.
You know? But, yeah, but Richard Lewis, that was sad. I guess I am making it about me, but fuck it. I did have a personal encounter with him. I was in Atlantic City some years ago. I was playing blackjack. And I just look up at the table opposite of me. And I'm like, is that Richard Lewis? And I said, it's got to be. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. And I keep playing. And then maybe 20 minutes later, I hear an unmistakable voice behind me. Mind if I sit here? And I turn over and it's Richard Lewis. And he sat and we played blackjack together for like a half hour. He was a super, super nice guy, you know? So yeah, that was sad. I really liked him.
Yeah, I did too. He had a delivery that I absolutely loved. And, you know, nobody did Jewish guilt like he did.
That's for sure.
And he will be missed because I really enjoyed him.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are surprised when I say this, but I never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm. So no. I have no frame of reference. You know, everybody who I know loves the show, And it's just one of those shows I just haven't gotten around to.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm the same way. And I like Larry David. And, of course, we love Richard Lewis. But it's one of those shows I've just never gotten around to watch.
Yeah, I mean, how much time is in the day, you know?
Yeah, and it's even less now because I got the entire series of Babylon 5 on Vudu yesterday for $29.
Oh, God. There we go.
Yeah, so I'll start watching that this weekend.
Sure.
All right, so let's get into the Oscars here.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. So I have the actual Oscars.org page open. So
yes, I do.
So that's what we'll go by, and it'll be the usual. We'll try to hit all the major ones. You know, best short film, I can assure you I haven't seen any of them. So,
yeah.
All right. So we will start first category, actor in a leading role. The nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. For me, the only one I haven't seen is Rustin. I don't even know what that's about. I couldn't even tell you. I'd have to look it up.
Same here. Same here.
I'd have to look it up right now, but because I'm curious. Rustin 2023 film. It's about Bayard Rustin, the advisor to Martin Luther King Jr. So,
okay.
All right. I knew I recognized the name, you know, the word anyway. Okay. So, all of these performances, all of the ones that I saw were really good. But for my prediction. So I had an idea of how to approach this, Scott, and you just let me know if you want to do it or not. We always do an Oscar prediction show, and we'll want to keep it that way. But then if we could talk about who we predict will win, and if it differs, who we would like to win.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
That's what I was going to do anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in this case, for me, they're one and the same, and I think Paul Giamatti is the standout here. I've always loved him as an actor, and I think it's long overdue, but I also think he was just fantastic in this role. Especially since, and I think it was you that pointed it out, that it's a fairly standard formula, the film. You know, two unlikely people find a way to understand one another, and
yep,
the curmudgeonly guy finds his humanity, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, but to do what he did with a role like that is what makes it stand out for me. And plus, I just love me some Paul Giamatti. So that's... Yeah. That's my prediction and my personal vote as well.
All right. Well, my prediction is Cillian Murphy, simply because he's just got the momentum behind him at this point. I mean, he's won everything there is to win for his role. And I don't see that changing for the Oscars. My personal preference would be Jeffrey Wright. And, you know, we talked about him a little bit before the show. And I think he gave the standout performance. And I love Paul Giamatti, and he elevated The Holdovers, as I mentioned when we talked about it a few shows ago. But I think Jeffrey Wright deserves it. He just did a fantastic job. And you know, that scene, as you said, where he walks into the room and he sees the female author. I can't remember her name now.
The actress's name is Issa Rae.
Okay.
I can't remember her character in the movie, but that's the actress.
You know, and talking about the book that she wrote.
Weese Lives in the Ghetto.
Weese Lives in the Ghetto. Yeah. You know, you're right. That expression on his face just... You know, sold it for me. And that was, you know, such a powerful moment in the movie. That's when I said, you know, this is the one that I'm going to vote for. But I know that Murphy's going to win it, just as I said, because he's got all of the momentum behind him at this point.
Fair enough.
Before we go on to the next one, really quickly, Bradley Cooper in Maestro. You may have liked the performance. To me, he sounded like Woody Allen with a head cold and acted like a cross between Groucho Marx and, I don't, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, it was a little weird. Now, look, obviously, I know who, you know, who doesn't know who Leonard Bernstein is, but I'm not going to say that I am an encyclopedia of knowledge about the man. He passed, you know, when I was a kid, so I didn't really know his mannerisms or anything. But I did think about that. I was like, man, he's really overselling this, you know?
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from, and the nasal. I'd have to listen to some recordings because the nasally, you know, I'm like, dude, blow your nose, take some decongestant for fuck's sake. I thought that as well, but maybe that was his voice. I don't know.
I mean, it was similar to his voice. And I'm not even going to go into the makeup and the prosthetics. I mean, they looked good and I have no issues with the nose or anything like that. It just, every time he was on screen, you see the makeup. You know, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, and it's distracting.
Yeah, I get it.
So,
the scene where I thought he reminded me most of Leonard Bernstein is towards the end of the film when he's conducting the orchestra in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's getting sweaty and he's passionate and everything. I'm like, holy shit, he's channeling Bernstein right there. You know, that for me was the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I can agree with that for the most part. Maestro was not my favorite movie out of all the nominees this year. Mine either.
I liked it. I didn't dislike it. But yeah, for me, it's near the bottom of the list. So
yeah. All right, next one.
What's next?
Actor in a supporting role. Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling, Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. And it's going to go to Robert Downey Jr., and that's probably going to be my pick, simply because the kid who played in Holdovers wasn't nominated. And that would have been my actual pick. So I'll go with Robert Downey Jr. Mark Ruffalo was good in Poor Things, but I didn't think it was necessarily an Oscar caliber performance. And the same for Sterling K. Brown, who played the gay brother in American Fiction. It was a good performance, but I didn't think it was like Oscar worthy performance. Not when you compare it to the kid from American Fiction.
Yeah.
Holdovers. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a seizure there for a minute. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I also think the Oscar is going to go to Robert Downey Jr. just because he so lost himself in that role. In fact, it took me like 20 minutes to realize that was the Robert Downey Jr. role. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, I knew he was in the movie, and I'm like, where the fuck's Robert Downey Jr.? Oh,
yeah, I had to look it up on IMDb to see who was playing that role because I didn't realize it was him.
You know, I secretly wish that Ryan Gosling would win just because people would fling themselves off of bridges if he won.
I would too, because that's actually another performance that I thought was, you know, it was a great performance, but Oscar worthy? Not really.
No, I just mean because there was like that whole, you know.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean.
I just think it'd be hilarious. Like, here we go. There's the patriarchy again.
Yeah. I mean, I would throw myself off a bridge for that, but for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. You and me both. Yeah. I liked him in it. I was skeptical, you know, because there was, you know, oh, is he too old and blah, blah, blah. I thought he was hilarious. I thought all the Kens were really funny, you know. So, all right, all good. So next up, actress in a leading role. We have Annette Bening in Naiad, which I did not see. Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Carrie Mulligan in Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things. So my prediction, and it got a little dicey because the buzz was that Lily Gladstone was a shoo-in. But then like Emma Stone started winning awards, Carrie Mulligan started getting some buzz, but I'm going to stick with my original prediction and say that Lily Gladstone will win. And her performance was very, very good. However, my personal vote would be for Emma Stone in Poor Things. The role was unique and challenging, and man, she went for it. Because for those who haven't seen it, there's a ton of sex in that movie. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's all the time, you know? And she really just went for it. And I read some articles where, like, the director was like, oh, are you? And she's like, let's just get this straight. I understand. I read the script. I know what's in this movie. Don't worry about it. Let's go for it. You know, you don't have to ask me every time. Yep. So she totally was in it. She sold it really well, did not shy away from the nudity and the sex. And it's funny, the sex is not gratuitous. It really isn't. It's a big part of the story, and people just have to see the movie to understand why.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought she was fantastic in a very challenging role, and to see the development, like in the early part of the movie where she really is very childlike, to the end where she's practically a Rhodes Scholar, you know, was awesome. So prediction, Lily Gladstone. Personal choice, Emma Stone.
All right. Well, Lily Gladstone is my prediction, and she's also my choice.
Okay, fair enough.
And as much as I loved Emma Stone in Poor Things, and this may be the first Academy Award nomination for an actress who showed her bush.
Could be.
You know? She really was brilliant in that, but there was something about Lily Gladstone's performance in Killers of the Flower Moon that just, you know, it moved me to tears, especially towards the end when she's just basically, you know, being kept drugged all the time, and it just breaks your heart seeing what happened to her.
Yes.
But Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, if she won, I wouldn't be too disappointed either.
Yeah, me either.
Even though I'm on the fence about the movie, her performance was nothing less than brilliant.
Yeah, and even though, like, to your point, even though, like, Maestro wasn't my favorite, I thought Carrie Mulligan was the actual standout in that movie. You know,
yeah.
I thought she was fantastic. So I wouldn't, you know, and Annette Bening, it's not fair. I like her as an actress, but I have no idea. I did not see the movie. So, but just about anyone winning in this category, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So. All right.
So are we doing animated feature film?
No, you skipped one.
Oh, actress in a supporting role. There we go. Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. American Ferrara, Barbie. Jodie Foster, Naiad. And Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. And this one isn't even a question for me. It's Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. I mean, that's my prediction, and that's my preference. You know, that's who I would vote for. I haven't seen The Color Purple. I haven't seen Naiad, so I can't attest to those, although Jodie Foster has never given a bad performance. Neither really has America Ferrara, for that matter. But Divine Joy Randolph is the standout for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I thought Emily Blunt was very good in Oppenheimer, playing the put upon wife, you know. I actually thought Florence Pugh as the mistress was better. But it could have gone either way as far as why she didn't get nominated. I didn't see The Color Purple or Naiad either, but I agree with you about Divine Joy Randolph. She was fantastic. It's really hard to sell grief without overdoing it.
Yep.
And she did it really well, you know?
She absolutely did.
Yeah, the scene at the party, you know, leave me alone, you know? I was like, holy shit. You know, so yeah, I'm with you there, man. I mean, damn it, we are tied on a lot of these. I don't like losing our Oscar prediction ballot. I really don't. All right, yeah, we can do animated feature film mainly because I actually saw three of them. So, animated feature film nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I saw The Boy and the Heron because I'm a huge Miyazaki Studio Ghibli fan. I saw Elemental because my daughter told me I should watch it. I did not see Nimona or Robot Dreams, and I saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which was very good. So I'm just making my notes here. Animated feature. My prediction is that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse will win just because it's got so much buzz and these types of animated, you know, big budget, hugely popular animated movies tend to be the winners.
Yep.
However, my personal choice would be The Boy and the Heron. It's a very beautiful, touching story. It's another home run from Studio Ghibli. Like, and it's Miyazaki's swan song. He said this is his last film. He said he's getting old and tired, and he is going to retire.
Aren't we all?
Well, yeah. So I highly, highly recommend it, and I freely admit that I am biased, just because I love his movies so much. You know. So, prediction, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Personal choice, The Boy and the Heron.
Well, I've only seen one, which is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I enjoyed that quite a bit, although I thought it was a little bit too long. So, that's going to be my prediction. I don't really have a favorite because, as I said, I've only seen, Spider-Man. And as an aside, because if I don't mention these two quick things, I'll forget it. And they have nothing to do with the Oscars. Number one is they're doing a remake of the Naked Gun movies with Liam Neeson.
What?
Yep.
You're fucking with me.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Liam Neeson is going to do the Leslie Nielsen role in the Naked Gun remake. And two, John Waters is making a new movie that starts shooting this year.
That I knew. That I knew.
Yeah. Well, I had heard it, but it hadn't really been confirmed until I saw a bit yesterday. It's going to start filming later this year, and it's based on his only novel, Pretty Liar Mouth, or something along those lines. So I almost had an orgasm over that.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. All right. So I just wanted to mention those two things. We can talk about the Liam Neeson thing on the next show because that deserves some debate.
I agree. Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Cinematography.
Yes.
El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. And this is really difficult. I haven't seen El Conde.
Me either.
So, but I loved how Killers of the Flower Moon looked. I liked how maestro looked. I like the cinematography on that. Same with all of them, but I think Poor Things kind of it was just so unique that it deserves, you know, it deserves the award. So that's what I would pick. I unfortunately think it'll go to Oppenheimer. I think this is going to be an Oppenheimer sweep this year.
Yeah, I think so too. sorry, I'm just making the notes here so we have documentation. You know, it's funny, like you read my mind. I agree. I think the prediction, my prediction is Oppenheimer, but I don't think it's undeserved. Nolan took some risks using the IMAX camera, even for close-up shots and other non-IMAX-y type stuff. And just some of the shots, like the Trinity test and all that, were just, you know, and the scenes that you were in Oppenheimer's head and he's seeing atoms collide and stuff. I thought that was cool. I thought, yeah, I agree with you. I thought Killers of the Flower Moon was beautiful. But I agree, I think I agree with you in that Poor Things would be my personal choice as well.
Fix those dentures, Todd.
Yes. Yeah, there's so many, just so many unique shots and the color palette and everything.
I love the colors. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know that we usually do this one, but I think because we saw most of the films, we should go for it. And that's costume design. So the nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This one is tough for me because I'm not quite sure what to predict. So I'm going to, given the, and I loved it. We talked about Barbie. So I am going to, maybe this is kind of an outsider's pick, but I'm going to go with Barbie just because they captured the essence so well. Even in the trailers, like when my daughter and I saw like the roller skating outfits and stuff, I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe that they nailed it like that, you know? And my daughter said, Dad, I all the costumes, I remember having those Barbies, you know?
Yeah.
And for that reason, because it evoked such an emotional reaction in my daughter, I think it did the same with a lot. So my prediction is going to be Barbie. But when it comes to costumes, will always be a period piece guy. So my personal choice would be Napoleon, just because the attention to detail in those costumes was amazing. I really believed that I was watching a film from that time.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction is Barbie. Personal choice is Napoleon.
Well, in this particular case, my prediction and my choice is the same thing, and it's Napoleon, actually. Okay. As much as I love the costumes in Barbie, Kills the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer kind of overlapped a little bit. But Napoleon was just, you know, breathtaking. And it's, honestly, it's really the only Oscar the movie deserves.
Well, I got you. Yeah, I agree with you there. yeah.
But I love a period piece too. And I mean, technically Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer period pieces as well, but they're more recent pieces, which are easy to replicate. Not so much easy to replicate the Napoleonic period, you know?
Right.
So I'm voting on Napoleon on that for both.
Cool. All right.
Okay. All right. So we have directing now. Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. And my prediction is obviously going to be Oppenheimer. My my personal choice would be of these would be Poor Things. Poor Things was just, it was original enough, and it was just, I mean, it's a brilliant piece of filmmaking, but it's definitely not for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? This is not a movie I would watch, if my mother were still alive, I would watch with mom. You know? But the others were, and I don't know whether I like The Zone of Interest or not. But to give it its due, I'm still thinking about it, you know, almost a week later.
Right.
So that says something for the directing. But, you know, Poor Things really was just so unique and such a breath of fresh air. And the only reason that I didn't pick Scorsese is it was too long.
Yeah.
Scorsese, like Stephen King, really needs to have somebody tell them no sometimes.
Exactly. Say, yeah. Yeah.
You need to cut this, this, and this. And the fact that Scorsese should know that by now and doesn't do it, you know, that knocks him down just a little bit. I mean, it's still a fantastic movie, don't get me wrong. Hmm. But I think Poor Things was a much better directing job.
All right, fair enough. So for my prediction, I'm going to side with you with Oppenheimer. I agree. I'm predicting something of a sweep for Oppenheimer. Although that tends not to happen anymore, where you get one movie that wins like 14 awards or something like that. But my personal choice would be, believe it or not, The Zone of Interest.
Really?
Yep. It's the last one of the Oscar nominees that I watched. And I was like, holy shit, this movie got under my fucking skin. You know?
Yeah.
And I'll just very briefly. So the Zone of Interest focuses on Rudolf Hess, who was the commander, the commandant of Auschwitz, and his family. They live on an estate that literally borders the camp. You know, their backyard borders the wall of the concentration camp. So it's this juxtaposition of a family just trying to lead a life and raise their kids and raise their vegetable garden and, you know, do live a suburban life like a lot of people do against the horrors of the Holocaust. So, you know, when Hoss goes, oh, I'm going to work, you know, and he goes across to the concentration camp, it's like me going to the office, you know what I mean? He's like, well, I'm just going to work. But you know,
yeah,
what is happening, you know? And they don't ever show any of it, you know? It's all just sound, you know, and yep, what you can hear. And I thought that was a brilliant choice, you know, to not really show any of that horror. So I just thought it was brilliant. And like you said, you're still thinking about the movie later. And I've seen a million movies about World War II and the Holocaust, but this one was unique in that it doesn't ever show any of the violence or the horror or anything like that, you know? So
It doesn't, but there's, in hindsight, a scene that becomes very kind of horrific. And that's when, Hoss's wife is giving the servants clothing, and she's saying, you can each only have one piece. And you realize a little bit later that clothing is from the victims of Auschwitz.
Oh, absolutely. Well, when someone says, when she's got the fur coat, and someone says, well, where did you get that? And she said, Canada. And the first thought was, well, from the country of Canada? No. Canada was the name of the warehouse where they dumped all of the personal belongings. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the Nazis and the SS would go and rifle through it and pick what they wanted. So, yeah, I mean, it's little things like that, you know, that happened. Go ahead.
This movie reminded me so much, not story-wise, obviously, but the way it was filmed and shot, of Woody Allen's movie Interiors, when he was going through his dramatic period. It very much felt like a documentary. If you notice, there were no close-ups. Everything was like medium shots or wide shots. There were no close-ups of anybody, really. And it gave it a very, as I said, documentary feel. And the story is really very, very simple. You know, as you said, it's, you know, Haas and his family live, you know, right next door to Auschwitz. But the main thing is, you know, the wife not wanting to leave when he gets promoted. You know, and that's it. It's basically, you know, a family drama. I mean, there's nothing, you know, it important, so to speak. I mean, there's no big set pieces. I mean, it's a very Swedish movie, like an Ingmar Bergman type movie, which I thought was very an interesting choice. But on the other hand, it also made it drag just a little bit. But it really, it's an interesting movie, and I'm still not sure how I feel about it.
Fair enough. All right. I'm going to skip the documentaries because it would be just throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah.
You know, I did not see any of them. So, but we'll go, I'm going to skip to film editing because all of these were also nominated for Best Picture. So we've seen all of them. So I see no reason why we couldn't vote on a technical award. So film editing, the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So for me, both, while all the other films were very good, I'm going to predict Oppenheimer, and that's my personal choice as well. Just the wide shots, the close-ups, the camera angles, the way they pulled off the Trinity test, like all that cool shit. I'm a fan of film editors, although I hate editing film myself, and I will never, ever do it again. I gain an appreciation because the editor is the person that has to take miles and miles of footage that the director shot and somehow make a coherent movie out of it, you know?
Although today, I guess it would be terabytes and terabytes.
Yes. Yeah. I always find it funny that we still call it footage.
Yep.
Even though it's digital. Although I don't know what else you'd call it, you know?
Yeah. Oppenheimer, and when I had finally seen this and talked about it on the show, I said it reminded me of JFK in terms of the cinematography and the editing, and I still maintain that. And then I saw a piece about Oppenheimer or you know, the movies that were being nominated, and somebody had mentioned that same exact thing as well. So I kind of feel vindicated in that opinion. But my personal preference is Poor Things. And I'm actually going to pick that. So if I lose, it's going to be because of film editing.
Okay. So your prediction is Poor Things.
Yeah.
And your personal choice.
Yeah. Because I think if there's any category that Oppenheimer is going to lose on, it's probably going to be a technical one. And I just think that the editing in Poor Things is far better than anything else I've seen this year by far.
Okay, fair enough. See, I think it'll be opposite. Christopher Nolan is known for like his technical prowess, you know? So I would think if anything, they would clean up on technical awards and maybe lose out on an acting or something like that. But I guess we'll find out. That's why it's a prediction show.
Yeah.
So, all right. Which one you want to do next?
Do we really care about makeup and hairstyling?
Nah.
Music.
Music, original score. Yeah, I think we could do that.
Okay. All right. Music, original score, American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think Oppenheimer will probably win. That it had a great score. But I liked Killers of the Flower Moon soundtrack. Robbie Robertson, it's his final soundtrack. That's the one that I would choose. But as I said, Oppenheimer is what I think will win.
Okay. I'm just making the note. So my personal choice would also be Killers of the Flower Moon.
We are agreeing an awful lot.
I know,
this
it's
year.
Fucking scary.
Right?
Although we disagreed on film editing. So,
yeah.
we are. But here's where we're going to differ. I think it will win. The score is just haunting, you know? And I just love the way, like, it enhances, like, the villainy, you know? Like, whenever Robert De Niro is on screen, the score changes, you know? Whenever one of the, I don't want to call them good guys, but, like, whenever one of the Osage people are on screen, it's a little more positive. So I just think it helped propel the narrative along. So that's both. So I like it as a personal choice, but I also think it will win.
And let's face it, nobody does music with film like Martin Scorsese.
That's true. That is true.
Okay.
All right. Music, original song. I only heard two of them, and they're both from Barbie. All right, let's skip it. Let's also skip. Let's save Best Picture for the end.
Yes.
All right. Let's do production design. We saw all the films. So production design. Nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This one is tough.
It really is.
Tough. So for my prediction, I'm going to go with Poor Things. And I don't even know how to articulate it other than like just little things like Willem Dafoe, the Godwin Baxter character, just his laboratory.
Yeah.
And everything, and the house and all that stuff, I think was awesome. I think it will win. My personal choice would be Barbie, just because when I'm watching it, I'm like, they fucking built that. Barbie's dream house, the rocket ship, weird Barbie's house, all of that. Like, I'm like, they built all that shit, you know? And it really sold it that you were living in a toy world, you know? So that's my personal choice is Barbie.
All right. Well, that's actually my prediction, Barbie. I think that's actually going to win. And I say that because I think it's going to be like a consolation prize. I don't think it's going to win anything else, really. But Poor Things would be my choice.
Okay.
No. Just for the animals they created.
Dude, that was some, that was fucking crazy. It took a second. The first time one of them appears on the screen, it took a second for my brain to even fucking register.
Right? Like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
They were fantastic. And they looked so real. I mean, you know they're CGI.
Right, right.
But they look real. They were fantastic. I loved them.
Yeah, that was freaking cool.
Okay.
All right. What are we gonna jump to next?
Sound.
Tell me. Sound. Okay. I like it. Go for it.
Oh, all right. So for sound, we have The Creator, which I haven't seen. I haven't even heard of it. Maestro, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer, The Zone of Interest. For me, it's The Zone of Interest. It's my pick, and it's my my prediction.
I'm making a note. As much as I hate to do this, I have to say the same thing. Because, again, we just talked about it a few minutes ago, the way the movie creates the atmosphere, you know, again, I can't stop thinking about this juxtaposition of kids like playing in the pool and the dog running around the yard, and over the wall, you hear gunshots,
you hear
marching, you hear screams and the roar of the crematorium, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
Just best use of sound I've seen in a long, long time.
You're absolutely right about that.
You know what? I take it back. I take it back. My prediction, I'm changing. Changing to Oppenheimer. And I will tell you why. Because I don't like to lose. And I think that when it comes to sound, the Academy tends to reward big bombastic movies like Oppenheimer or Mission Impossible. So I'm taking a risk, but I'm changing my prediction to Oppenheimer just because I think that's what the Academy will do.
All right, fair enough.
And The Creator was a sci-fi movie. It's about a future where humans and androids live side by side, and the humans believe that the androids nuked Los Angeles, so now there's a war to wipe out all the androids, and they think that the androids have created this new super weapon, and it's the story of how they go about trying to find this super weapon and what it is and all that. So that's what The Creator is. I liked it. A lot of people didn't, but I liked it. If you get a chance, you should watch it.
All right.
Pretty good. I liked it. So, all right. Let's go to visual effects. The nominees are The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. My prediction and my personal choice are Godzilla Minus One. I like the fact that a Godzilla movie is getting a lot of buzz, and they pulled off a miracle with only $15 million. You know, yeah. I mean, they did amazing stuff with a budget that low. But $15 million is still a lot of money. But when you think of like a big monster movie or sci-fi movie, you think in terms of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's awesome. And I think the Academy is going to go ahead and finally take a monster movie seriously, because it's just such a good movie. So that's my prediction and my personal choice. As much as I liked Napoleon, and the battle scenes and stuff are very cool, I'm just going to stick with Godzilla.
All right. Well, Napoleon is my prediction and my choice. But what I'm surprised about is the fact that Poor Things wasn't nominated in this category. If any movie deserved a nomination for visual effects, it would be Poor Things.
Well, maybe, but don't, you might be conflating like makeup with visual effects. I don't know how many VFX shots were in Poor Things. I think it was mostly practical. I think that's where the difference is. Like if we were going to go back to hair and makeup and vote for poor things, I'd be all in. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
That's just a speculation on my part. Visual effects to me is literally like special effects, like CGI and stuff like that. But that might could be wrong.
All right, well, fair enough. Either way, Napoleon is my prediction and my pick.
Your pick is your pick. So I'm down. All right. I think we got good. We're doing well on time. Oh, well, we'll go a little bit over because we got three more categories. So,
all right. Go for it. Writing, adapted screenplay, American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. For me, this is really kind of my pick is American Fiction. I think probably Oppenheimer is going to win it, but I would like to see American Fiction pull out the win for it. Because it was just so smart and so funny and so it gets you. You know, we've both lost our mothers, so
yeah.
You know, when you know you realize that they're dealing with his mother, who's played by Leslie Uggams, and I'm actually kind of surprised she wasn't nominated for a supporting actress role.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking about that with somebody after I saw the movie. And here's the thing. There's only five nominees in any category. So it's hard. Like you could expand it to 10 and you would still say, but what about this person? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I agree with you. She was great in the movie, but you know, whatever. The day I get a ballot from the Academy is the day my thoughts will matter.
But you know, and the way you know it was written so well, and what I love because when you realize that she's got Alzheimer's, and then when they put her in the nursing home, you expect her to die at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
and when she doesn't, you're like, well, that's a pleasant surprise. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
American Fiction for busting tropes.
Yep, I'm with you. So for me, for writing adapted screenplay, my prediction is Barbie. For multiple reasons. One, I genuinely did think the writing was very smart. And I was yesterday years old when I found out that Helen Mirren is the narrator of the movie. I did not.
Oh,
know
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. You know? And just little things like that one we talked about where, you know, Margot Robbie's crying and she's like, I'm not pretty anymore. Note to the filmmakers, Margot Robbie is not the person to cast to try to make this point. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant right there. And I also think that because of like all the blowback and the controversy, I think that this is going to be like an Academy saying, oh, we're going to try to make this right. But I do think the writing was very smart. I'm not saying like this is a trophy, you know, and everybody gets a trophy kind of thing. My personal choice would be Poor Things. Now, obviously, I did not read the original, out of all of these, the only original book I read was the Oppenheimer book. What is it? Modern Prometheus, I think. So I can't really say, you know, but My personal choice, I think, would be Poor Things, just because if the original is anything like how the movie came out, I'm just like, holy shit, how did they do that?
Yeah, so. I want to read the book now.
Yeah, me too.
You better check Audible to see if it's there.
Yeah, right. All right. So, writing, original screenplay. We've got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. This one's hard for me, too. My prediction? Jesus, I don't fucking know. I did not see May, December. I kind of know what it's about, but I did not see it. Obviously, I did see all the rest. And we didn't talk about Past Lives, man. We need to, because that's another movie that stuck with me.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that in the best movie category.
Yeah, okay. So I know we're short for time, and I know you have to go to work. So I will just say my prediction in writing original screenplay is going to be The Holdovers. And I think my personal choice would be Past Lives.
Okay. Well, this was a process of elimination for me. I haven't seen May, December. Maestro, I didn't think the writing was all that good. Maestro was just a huge missed opportunity. On all counts.
Okay.
As much as I like The Holdovers, as we alluded to earlier, it was a bit too pedestrian and too predictable. You kind of expected what was going to happen. And you know how I feel about Anatomy of a Fall. I loved it up until the end when it became, you know, Wesley Crusher and Lassie teaming up to save the day. That leaves Past Lives, and I think that deserves to win. It was beautifully written, and what I loved about it is everything that wasn't said when they were talking.
Mm.
And you know, even the scenes, you know, and you mentioned this when you talked about it a few weeks ago. That scene at the very end where he's getting ready to get into his Uber, and there's just that long shot of them looking at each other and not saying anything. There's a lot of times movies or music or books, the artist has just maybe one scene in mind. And then they build everything else around that. Mm-hmm. And I think with Past Lives, that scene I just mentioned is what she had in mind. And then she built everything else around it. And it's just, it's, you know, it's beautifully written. It's a beautiful story, too. And I kind of like that, you know, these were unconventional lead characters, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of the lot for me. So that's my prediction, and that's my pick.
Dude, what you just said is exactly what I posted on social media when I saw that movie. That scene that you just mentioned, to me, is probably the most perfect 30 seconds I've seen in any movie ever. You know, just they're waiting for the car to show up and they're just standing and looking at each other. And I'm wondering, it's making me wonder, what is each of them thinking about right now?
Yep.
And then she walks away back to her husband and just bursts into tears. And I'm like, that is the moment that movie took my heart and stomped it into the ground.
Right.
I'm like, why, movie? Why did you do that to me? Like, I'm more sensitive than people think. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, such a good movie, dude. Again, and this is why I bang my head against the wall when people say there's no good movies. you know?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, why don't you walk us through the Best Picture nominees? Dun, dun, dun.
All right. We have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. Prediction, Oppenheimer. My pick, American Fiction. And it's tough because I think Poor Things is so original. I mean it's a Frankenstein takeoff, but right. The way they do it is so original. But there's just something about American Fiction, and it's probably because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
You know, so that speaks to me a little bit more than, you know, putting the brain of a fetus into a fully grown dead woman.
Yeah. And just real quick, dude, you know, I was on a couple of threads where people were like commenting on the plausibility of that. And I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself with a rusty dildo.
Right.
Like, that's not the point. Like, you totally missed the point of the movie. I mean, just stop with this. Like, of course it's not plausible, but, you know, but whatever.
Yeah, and did these same people say that Star Wars wasn't plausible?
Right.
They're jerking off with lightsabers.
Right, right. Okay, so I agree with you with the prediction of Oppenheimer, just because that really is the kind of movie that the Academy tends to give Best Picture to. And it's worthy. Like, look, I really loved Oppenheimer. I would be willing to say that there's really only maybe one movie out of these, how many are there? 10? Where I would be like, huh? If it won Best Picture, and that's Maestro. If any of the others somehow won it, I would be like, maybe that wouldn't have been my pick, but I get it. You know, Barbie would surprise me as well. But anyway, my prediction is Oppenheimer. My personal choice, believe it or not, is Past Lives.
No, I believe that from the way you talked about it.
Really love that movie. Don't ever let it be said that I'm not a romantic. I'm a film buff at heart. So if you can give me a good like romance or good drama, I will eat that shit up, you know? And that's what this was. And I like the fact I learned a lot about like Korean culture as well.
Yeah.
Like that whole concept of past lives, Inyun. Like, I thought that was like, holy shit. Like, they really believe that, like, you know, you however many times you encountered each other in the past leads you to the moment where you are today, you know?
Yep.
And, I really liked it a lot. So we will see. All right, my friend, I wrote everything up. I'm going to send you a copy of the document for posterity. When you post the episode in the comments, I will cut and paste the text that we memorialize it, so people know that we're not cheating. Then again, okay. This is not even something I would cheat on, because at the end of the day, who fucking cares? You know what I mean? But I'm planning on watching the telecast this year, you know?
I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
And you know how I feel. I love old Hollywood. I'm looking forward. I like the glitz and the glamour. I like seeing the dresses and everything, you know, and all that stuff. I dig it. You know, I miss the old days, you know, like Betty Davis and such, but I still dig Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, I do too. And I'm looking forward to the telecast this year. And that is what, March 10th?
March 10th, yep, next Sunday.
All right.
So we'll live tweet at each other while the telecast is on.
Yeah.
If I had the attention span, I'd say let's set it up as a watch party, but there's no way I'll last 3 hours.
Like, no. No.
So all right.
Good so what do you got going on? Oh,
well, not too much. Just working on getting submissions for Grindhouse. And I finally got started up again on some scripts that I had neglected. I started writing some articles and stuff for my website, which I have horribly, horribly neglected. And that's really it.
All right. Well, the edits on the book are almost done. And, I'm just in the process now of trying to, find a decent, graphic artist to do the cover for it, to try and incorporate the image that I have. And that's going to be out probably in about a month or so.
Cool.
Yeah, finally. But as always, you can get the ebooks wherever ebooks are sold, and you can get the physical copies at Amazon.com. You can get the audiobooks at Audible.com. Although you actually can buy the audiobooks through Amazon as well, because Audible is an Amazon company.
Exactly. All right, my friend.
And until next time, may all of your journeys be filled with pure imagination.